Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Merry Christmas. As I said before, it is good to see you all here tonight. A few hours before this, I was down in Auburn, my hometown, my home church actually, attending worship with Sarah and the boys, my parents, my sister, my brother and his family, his wife and two kids. It was a good experience. It's a little surreal. The service started, I think it was at 7, and a few minutes into worship, we made it a little bit into it, and then Archer wanted to move. And for those of you who don't know, Archer is my youngest son. He's 1.5, and it was getting close to his bedtime, and he was showing it. So he was moving a lot, and he was talking a lot, and he was moving and talking a lot and loudly and all over the place. And even though they had made a special point at the start, which I appreciated, and I'm going to borrow this someday, Pastor Eric made a special point at the start to point out that if there is any day that we should be able to deal with having children and little ones in worship, it's on Christmas Day. I mean, it's all about a baby, or Christmas Eve. And I thought that was a good point that he made, but as a parent, he was still going crazy. I mean, he's this little 1.5-year-old kid. He doesn't want to sit still. So I did my best for a while, and then eventually I found myself out with him in the narthex, which is quite big. They did a big renovation there. And I was chasing him all around the narthex. I mean, I'd let him get ahead. I wasn't, like, running after him usually. A couple times I discovered cabinet doors that I thought were secured that were not. So then there was running, frantic running, and no, you don't need that. But for the most part, I just watched him as he wandered around the narthex exploring. And I couldn't help but think of the parallel between 30 years ago or 35 years ago when I would have been about his age doing that same thing in that same building. I felt so sorry for my parents. I forgot to tell them that tonight. I owe them an apology. Christmas services are kind of a unique beast. If you'll pardon me saying this, I come from a church family. And I don't mean just that we were regular church people. I mean my mother is a church secretary. My mother has been at Messiah 1 year longer than Judy has been here. Put it in perspective for you. My sister's on staff there as well now. My brother turned down an opportunity to be one of their musicians. My father served as church council president multiple times. I was the first youth to serve on the church council myself. It's kind of a family business, so to speak. And as someone who grew up in the church, I was accustomed to some of the church terms that would get used, and one of them, again, I apologize, I mean no offense to anyone, the term C&E. I don't know if you've ever heard that before. C&E stands for Christmas and Easter, and it was a short-term way of referring to people who you saw twice a year, at Christmas and at Easter. In other words, same time, next year. I'm just being blunt. I do that sometimes. I was thinking about all of that this evening at that service, and I was thinking about that as I reflected on our experience Sunday night. Like I said, several of you who are here now, I know we're at that service as well. And for those of you who were not, let me tell you, it was amazing. I won't say that this room was packed, but it was comfortably filled. We had people here from the Reborn Church, our Korean brothers and sisters. We had people here from, let's see if I can do it, Iglesia Evangelica de los Verios, our Latino brothers and sisters. From two of the Ethiopian congregations that worship here, Bethel Ethiopian Church of Seattle and the Ethiopian Evangelical Church of Seattle, colon, ambassadors. It was good. Service was in multiple languages, different forms of music, different forms of prayer, different forms of worship style. I know we will do it again, as I said earlier. I was thinking about that experience, and I was thinking about the experience of being at Auburn in my home church with my parents, my family, and all of that. And I got thinking about, what does it mean to be the church? What does it mean to be the church in 2013? Almost now, 2014. Holy cow, how did that happen? Everybody remember when 2000 seemed so far off? And like, I even remember that. 2000 was the future. Poor 20th Century Fox had to change their name. No one else got that. We're in the 21st century. We're in the 21st century now. Never mind. It's too late for that kind of joke. Just thinking about all this stuff. Thinking about, what does it mean for us to be the church today? What will it mean for us to be the church next year and the years going forward from there? And I think a large part of what it means for us to be the church showed up a couple of nights ago. It means being a place where people can gather together. A place where people can gather together from different backgrounds, different cultures, different experiences, different walks of life. To be fed together, bless you. To be fed together, to be loved together. I dare say to be challenged together, to ask questions together, to wrestle with faith together. Some of you know that the unofficial, informal tagline that I've used on our business cards is doubts welcomed, faith inspired. Because I truly do believe that part of what it means for us to be a community of faith is to be a place in which it is okay to ask questions. It is okay to wrestle with faith. It is okay to be unsure at times. Because that's how we grow. The church at its best is a unique institution in our culture. Bless you again. It's okay. I don't mind. I sneeze all the time. You heard me coughing earlier. Wait till the next time I have to sing. The church at its best is a unique institution. Some of you know that I allowed some friends who were filmmakers to shoot part of a short film here last week. And on the day that they came here to shoot, they showed up very early. It was last Saturday. They showed up at 4:30 in the morning. That's not true. They showed up at 5. I had to get here at 4:30 to turn the lights on and stuff. And soon after we had opened up and things were set, the coffee was brewed and people had their breakfast all set up and things were getting all put together, a couple of extra folks showed up at the front door. A couple of our locals. And when I say our locals, I don't necessarily mean the folks who we see on a Sunday morning. I mean two gentlemen who go by the names of Nick and, quote unquote, Crazy Bob. That's how he introduced himself to me. That's all I got. And Nick and Crazy Bob were cold because they're out on the streets. They were hungry. They needed to use a restroom. And a couple of folks from the film shoot, bless their hearts, they ran into them first. Can you imagine their response? They were scared to death. Especially when the guy says his name is Crazy Bob. But for better or for worse, I knew what I needed to do, because at that point my job was not to be the host for a group of independent filmmakers. My job was to be the pastor of this community of faith and to welcome those men inside and let them use the restroom and to give them a cup of coffee and a bowl of hot food. That's what the church is at its best. It is a place where even people who have never walked through those doors before know they will be safe and accepted. And too often we don't do that. Too often in the past that has not occurred. So now there's all this baggage out there about being part of a church. Oh, you're church people. Sorry, didn't mean to bring that up. Have you ever experienced someone looking at you crossways when they found out you were a Christian? Or that you go to a church? I promise you I have as a pastor. You have? Yeah, it happens. And that isn't all on them. Part of that is on us. Part of that is on those of us who refer to ourselves as Christians, those of us who refer to ourselves as people of faith, who have behaved in ways that I tell you are not Christian. This evening, you heard verses you have heard several times before. I know this because I've done this service before. The story of the birth of Christ. Why does that story matter? Rhetorical question. I'll tell you why it matters. It matters for the same reason that I told many of you on Sunday morning it matters. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believed in him would not die but would have eternal life. And yet, too often we as Christians have focused on that second half. We have focused on the whole believing, having eternal life part. That's the whole point to being a Christian, is make sure that we cross our T's and dot our I's, toe that line, lift that veil, make sure that we get to go to heaven. For God so loved the world. That's the important part in there. That's the most important part in there. The story of Christ is the story of God's love for us. God's love as we have seen it in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans 8, 38 to 39. For I believe that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor trials in the present, nor any trials to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all of creation will ever separate us from the love of God poured out in Christ Jesus our Lord. Something I told you on Sunday, 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He that does not love does not know God, for God is love. And as I said on Sunday, love is not God, but God is love. Too often we have missed that. Too often we have not demonstrated that. And you know what? In some ways that's okay. Because we can learn. We can grow. I don't care if you are 1 and a half like my youngest son, or if you're 91 and a half, like, well, I won't name names. Actually, I don't know who in here might be 91 and a half. We can all grow. We can all grow in faith. We can grow in faith together, because that is part of what it means to be a part of a religious community, is to be able to be challenged by each other, to grow together. How many of you have ever heard the expression, I'm spiritual but not religious? I've heard that one several times. And that's not inherently bad. It's not at all. But the thing that makes me sad, is that I think part of the idea behind saying that is this individualism, this individual faith, which is good in some ways because each of us does have unique faith. However, when we come together, we are forced to interact with each other. We are forced to consider ideas and points of view we might not otherwise consider. We are forced to grow. How cool is that? When it says in Scripture that where two or more are gathered, there I am, I think that's part of the reason, is Jesus is saying, hey, you know what? When you get together, you're not just worshiping yourself. Thank you. At this very moment, as we speak, I think it's 11:10. They might quit early. Right below us is a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. They meet from 10 p.m. to 11:30 every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday night. Why am I telling you about that? Because even though most of them may not be up here right now, they are starting to recognize that this is a place where they can be safe. This is a place that they can come to to seek sanctuary, even if it's not in the sanctuary. That's what this is all about. That's what that baby in a manger is all about. God coming to us in a personal way and daring us to go to each other in the same way. Amen? Amen. Merry Christmas.